Hey everyone, this is your boy Daily News from the Real Dream Podcast. On behalf of Duke Mailman and I, we want to thank all of you guys for listening to us and supporting us. If you like what you hear, please follow us on our social media pages. We're at The Real Dream Podcast on Facebook. We're at TRDcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if that's not enough for you, look us up on Linktree at linktree.com/TRDcast. Thank you all for the support and enjoy the episode. Welcome to the Real Dream Podcast. I'm your host, David Hughes, and here's my boy, Gentleman Duke. How y'all fellas feeling this week?
What up?
All right.
We in this beach.
All right. We got a couple topics we're talking about today that are near and dear to us. Our first topic, I'm going to start off with the conversation that we were having. The first topic we want to talk about is a situation in the Olympics with an athlete named Simone Biles. I'm sure at this point in time, everyone's heard of it. Simone Biles dropped out of competition for getting what is called twisties. It's a condition that causes you to not instinctively react when doing vaults and things like that in midair. Once that happens, you start to overthink. You get doubt. You slow up and your body's not reacting as fast as it should be. It's the difference between landing on your feet and landing on your head. So it's a very dangerous situation. Also, on top of that, we found after the Olympic events and getting back home that her aunt passed away during her Olympic trials or during the Olympic competition. So I just want to get your guys' take on that and just the importance of mental health when it comes with just being a human being. And obviously, we're not Olympic athletes, but it is something that we all as humans still deal with. So I just want to get your guys' take on that.
Duke, you want to go first?
Yeah, that's fine. Mental health, man, is real. As a Black community, a lot of times we were raised as, you know, you got to be, and that's male or female, because, you know, Black people, we don't do therapy a lot of times. We don't do a lot of that stuff, you know, so mental health sometimes gets put aside, so to speak. Oh, you need to toughen up. Oh, get over it. Get through it. Figure it out. But that's a real thing, man. Like, you know, we've all went through, I think, some stretches where you doubt yourself and some stretches where you're not 100%, so to speak, mentally. There's nothing wrong with that. The biggest thing is being, while you're in it, realizing that you're in it and then being strong enough or mentally strong enough, so to speak, to ask for help. That's the main thing. And that's why I applaud her. She realized that she wasn't at full capacity because her mental wasn't right. And so she was like, fuck that. Fuck all the bullshit. I'm still the GOAT. I'm just going to go ahead and take this one off and make sure that I'm 100%, because that your mental health can bring you down a rabbit hole that you can't get out of sometimes. So it's more important to make sure that you're good yourself than to do something for others. And the Olympics, while yes, of course, she wanted to do well at the Olympics, but the Olympics is something for someone else, not necessarily her. So she had to take care of her first.
No doubt. I applaud her for doing that and having the strength to even make it publicly known that she faces those type of issues and things like that. Like, my hat is off to her. Like, she's a very strong individual, very strong woman. And I think it's kind of sad, too, though, that everything that kind of happened with that, because I think I read somewhere that she normally takes medication to help with her mental health issues. But because of the type of medication it was, Japan didn't allow it in their country. So she wasn't even able to take her medication that she had been taking for, what, 5+ years or something like that.
And ADHD medication.
Yeah, I was like, so she couldn't have a medication. Obviously, the medication was working for her, you know, I mean, and then to not have it, it's a medication that's been in your system for that long, pretty sure that it was going to be affecting her or would cause some type of effect in her performance as well. And it's like, you know, the Olympics are important, and, you know, I mean, some people, the Olympics are more important, you know what I'm saying, than others to others. But I mean, she had to do what she had to do for her, and I applaud her for that. I think I got mad respect for her.
We live in a society that when you mention America, especially when it comes to military,
there's this sense that you have to put duty before yourself. And it makes sense when you're talking about defending your country. At the same token, there are so many military veterans that are dealing with traumatic and deep mental health issues because they are not addressing it, and nor does the military really promote you addressing it. There's this mentality that if you're representing America and you're dealing with mental health, that you're deemed as weak in a military anyway. And then so people, there are some people that look at the Olympics in the same way. You put the red, white, and blue on and you go across seas and you represent us and you deal with these issues and pull out because something's going on in your head, you're weak. And that's not the case. It takes an amazing, strong-willed woman to sit there and say, I'm on the biggest stage in the world, I'm going to pull out because my mind's not right. I need to take care of me first. The fact that the Olympics has special rules because she's too good and no one else can do what she does.
That is ridiculous, man. Like, I can't even believe that. You know, how can you be too good? How are they going to penalize you for being too good? Oh, we can't have you doing those type of feats because somebody else might try and break their neck. The fuck?
Oh, no, they let her do it, but they started it from a lesser point total than what it would normally be.
Oh,
so she was all, that's how they was, yeah. So that's how they were kind of doing it. But just to kind of get back on topic, I think a lot of it has to do, especially in the sports area, because when you play sports, it's all about what? About winning. Physicality, it's about athleticism, it's about winning at all costs, so to speak. So I think, especially in the sports fraternity, for anybody that's played sports before, I think it's harder in some ways because you can't physically see it until somebody's at the bottom. You know, when somebody is going through things mentally and you can't physically see it, sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around, like, okay, hold on. I don't see no blood. I don't see no injury. I don't see no physical injury or anything like that. So how could this person not be right? Especially someone that's at the top of their game, like a Simone Biles. Mm-hmm. How could anything be wrong with you? You're the greatest gymnast of all time. You know, like we just mentioned, they got to start your routine is so good that they got to start you at a lower number just for everybody else to have an opportunity to come close to beating you. Yes. So I think that's hard for people to wrap their head around, like, wait a minute, how can something be wrong with her mentally? She's got it all. Mm-hmm. It's about sometimes. And sometimes, a lot of times, people like that are the ones that suffer from those from mental health issues because they've got so much pressure on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. So not only do they do the everyday routine like we do as quote unquote normal people, then they, on top of that, they got all this pressure, especially in the Olympics, especially with an Olympics that is a year later than what it was supposed to be. So that's even more pressure. So I think, and then, like you said, what happened with her aunt, and from what I understand, that happened like completely out of the blue, like nothing, nobody had any signs, nobody knew anything that was going on with that. That just completely blindsided her with that too. So, I mean, like I said, I like her even more personally.
Me
to
too.
Put all of that aside. And that's the same thing too with Naomi Osaka. She's done something similar to that too. She was like, fuck that. I ain't playing no goddamn tennis. I need to get my shit right. And she attributed a lot of that to the media and a lot of the questions that she was getting and stuff like that. So we got to remember too that these people are human as well, that they have, you know, families, they have lives that fuck with them just like our lives would fuck with us at the worst period at certain times.
Mm-hmm. It also raised the question as to what are we doing in society as far as our knowledge and getting educated on mental health issues and how they affect people and things like that. Because if you think about a lot of police encounters and stuff like that, when they encounter people with mental health issues, and it always ends up really bad.
I remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but our listeners don't know, years ago I used to take care of patients that were mentally disabled.
Mm-hmm.
Used to take them out on outings, take them out to the store, take them out to see the stock car races, to the fair, whatever the case may be. Some of them even met my family. There was a story not too long ago where there was a report from police that a young man was walking down the street carrying a gun saying that he was going to kill everybody. And the police arrived on the scene. This man was not a young man. He was 45 years old, but he was mentally disabled. His caregiver, he had gotten out of the facility. His caregiver was looking for him and had found him. The police cornered him and the caregiver, thinking this man had a gun. He did not. He had a toy fire truck, and he was just yelling out random things because he's so disabled. He just yells out whatever he sees on TV. The caregiver is trying to calm down the police. The police are get down on the ground. There is a point in the time, and it's on video. You can look it up, where a caregiver is on his back. His hands are up in the air. He is trying to communicate to the police what's going on. They are still not looking at this as a non-threatening issue. They are still thinking that there is a gun or whatever the case may be. The caregiver was shot twice in the leg. And after everything that happened, he was still just so thankful that nothing happened to his client. And it's stuff like that to where I'm not saying anything. Oh, the police. No. There is a lack of training when it comes to mental health with the police, with social workers, with us daily human beings that just don't have sympathy or don't have the understanding that what is schizophrenia? What is bipolar disorder? We don't know. A lot of people don't know all the details on that, and they don't know how to deal with it. And it's just so sad that situations like this can arise. I was furious because I was like, oh man, if that happened to my client, you're going to have to put at least four more bullets at me because there's no way I'm not raising hell. But.
Well, it's almost like if, you know what I'm saying, people, if they haven't experienced it or been around somebody that has a mental health disorder, they have no knowledge of it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I grew up in a household where my sister has a mental health issue or mental disorder. And, you know, it gave me a new perspective on people with mental disabilities. And I don't know about most people, and I'm not trying to say I'm a saint or anything, but because it was so close to me, it led me to want to do more. And so I volunteered at Special Olympics and things of that nature, and just to kind of get a better understanding of who my sister was and things like that. So like this story really, really kind of hits home for me too, because, you know, see, here it is, another young Black female that's, you know what I'm saying, dealing with this type of issue. And then, you know what I'm saying, getting all this kind of criticism and stuff like that for it, it kind of like breaks my heart to hear it.
Yeah. And one of the things you mentioned is that it was another Black female. I don't want to bring race into it too much, but it is there. Do you two feel like that Black individuals that deal with mental health issues are treated differently than white males specifically? So I'll give you an example. Shakira Richardson got disqualified from the Olympics because she was smoking weed on her mother's death. We, not us, but America looked at that as such a negative light in some places where it was like, why would you be smoking weed? You know you're in the Olympics. Why would you do that? I don't think we got that much attention, that negative attention when Michael Phelps was smoking weed.
No. I barely even knew that he actually was smoking weed. You know, yeah, what I'm saying?
Osaka. Naomi Osaka. Shakari Richardson.
Name is Shakari Richardson, man.
I apologize.
Get your shit together.
I know. Shakari Richardson.
Put your damn Black bifocals on and read them damn names right.
Hey, you're right. I know. Don't judge me. I don't got bifocals.
Yeah, you do. You lying.
Not yet.
Not yet. That's like you from the hood, nigga. Right? You know, Shikari's and Osaka's all over the goddamn place.
Shit. Osaka sound like Japan.
She is. She's half Black and half Japanese.
That makes more sense now.
I know a woman named Chandelier.
No.
Yep. Yep. No. Don't judge her. Chandelier was dope, man.
I'm not judging her.
Listen. I'm going to warn every one of my listeners. If you ever meet a woman named Chandelier, ever, she can fight. I'm warning you right now. The reason she can fight is because the first thing you thought of was to make fun of her because of her name. Mm-hmm. I guarantee these kids have already done that and she didn't put them in their place. You don't grown. You don't become a grown woman named Shannon.
With a name, right?
And have to put at least 4 or 5 people in the dirt because of they trying. And Lynn was gangster, boy.
I didn't know her parents were black. Come on.
Oh, I know. Shannon Lynn was dark as night. I love that. Sha'Carri Richardson, Naomi Osaka, Simone Biles, these people dealing with mental health, they look at that. So even, and I'm not even saying it like as a black woman thing, Tiger Woods, you know, women in general are viewed a certain way, but white males can sit there. Do you realize one of the world's most famous Olympic swimmers, Lochte, was charged with like assault in Brazil last Olympics?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I don't know. Ryan Lochte.
You know, and we don't.
It was something crazy. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something crazy. Like he got kicked out or some shit, or almost got kicked out or something.
Yeah.
For whatever it is that he did.
Like we don't look at these people in a negative light, but when Tiger Woods goes through a slump, it's such a bad thing. Or when Kevin Durant goes through a shooting slump, some mental stuff, you know, some stuff happened. No one bats an eye, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know, man.
Nobody has sympathy for black people anymore.
I don't think it's people have sympathy for black people. I think it's people who just, in general, have gotten to a point where they just don't have sympathy.
Well, I mean, you think about social media, TV, television, movies, and things like that. With all that constantly being, you know, saying presented to people, you kind of desensitize you. Like when I was in college, I did a report about cattle slaughter, thinking about the guys that actually did the slaughtering of cows and how it might affect their mental. And a lot of the studies show that a lot of those guys show more signs of violence than any other job that's out there. It's kind of desensitized people to the actual human experience and what we are as human beings. And just because that famous saying when it comes to the cops, one bad apple doesn't mean the whole group is like that. It should go the same way for black people. But also there's the other side of that too, whereas one bad apple can spoil a bunch.
Let me ask you something. I love pie. Y'all know this. That's my favorite food, pie. I love apple pie. I think apple pie is delicious. Have you ever had an apple pie with a bad apple?
No.
Has any of my listeners ever went to the store and bought an apple pie with a bad apple? No. You know why? Because the company that makes the pies has a very, very strict process to make sure that their apples are fresh, that they're clean, and that they're good. I am not saying that there are bad, that if you are a cop, you are bad. One of our good friends is a sheriff, not too far from here. We know there are good people that want to be cops. But if the system is not set up to weed out those bad apples, the system is flawed.
Yeah.
And
I 100% agree on that.
You know what I mean?
So, well, this is what I'm gonna say too. So back to when you were talking about Ryan Lochte and Michael Phelps and Naomi and all of them. We all know that the goalposts get changed for minorities sometimes when we're talking about specific things, like you were talking about the weed and stuff like that. But part of that too is I think the quote unquote white boys get the pass because. Yeah, thinking about or talking about black people, like every person you name was an athlete. So when people judge black people, they're going to judge them off of their athleticism. They're going to, you know what I'm saying? Instead of judging them off of other aspects, like because we catching up in this history thing, we don't have as many black faces in those prominent situations and those prominent positions. So when you judge a black person, a lot of times you're judging them off of their physical aspects. You're not judging them off of their mental aspects. So I think that's where sometimes they get a pass, because they're also getting judged off of their mentality, so to speak, where you don't get that same pass because we don't have those same people in those same positions as well.
I see what you're saying.
And I'm not saying this in a negative light. I'm just keeping it real. The white man has had all of these victories, so to speak, quote unquote victories, I guess you could say, in history of doing quote unquote great things. Now, we know there's been a lot of white, just like I'm not saying all black, all minorities are good, but well, the education system doesn't teach us all of the good things that black men or minority men and women, for that matter, do, to where I just feel like part of the judgment is different because of that, too. When you're talking to little Gary, you're saying, oh, Gary, you could be, you know, his parents are telling him he could be the president of the United States, or, you know what I'm saying, he could be a CEO. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we're telling our kids, oh, I hope you get to the league. I hope you can play some ball. How many times do we have those conversations with our children about being the second minority president, about being a CEO of a company? You know, I think that's part of it too, because a lot of those people that you name, Tiger, he gets blasted by the black community a lot. Shatari, she did. When that came out, I saw a lot of black women, black men going at her for that too. Yeah. You know, and it's like, okay, we got to uplift each other as well. Yes, she made a mistake, but come on, man. Yeah. Everybody makes mistakes.
No doubt.
Yeah,
nobody in this world is perfect.
I think one of the most profounding things, regardless of your political affiliation, one of the most profounding things I realized about Barack Obama was when he was having an interview about becoming the first black president, and this was after his presidency. Although Obama is black, he was not raised in a situation where he had what is called the black experience. Mm-hmm. He was raised in Hawaii. He was raised in a situation where he didn't have to deal with so much. Then he went to a Chicago college for 8 years and studied law. There were some situations where he got into the Senate and so on and so forth. He said, I didn't have the black experience growing up. And I truly don't believe the first black president could have. Mm. Think about it in 2021.
Mm. Oh, no, because he needed to be perfect. And that's the only reason he even got where he needed to go, because he needed to be perfect.
Think about it this way.
They ain't find no dirt on him.
Could a black president, could a black person become black, become president and support something like Black Lives Matter? Probably not. Probably not.
Why not, though?
Because it's such a strong topic. There's such a strong opinion. The world is not ready for an authentic, all-in black president. The world is not all in for an all-in authentic woman president. No. They're not. They're not. This country, and whether you are black, white, male, woman, this country was built in the idea that when all men were created equal, they were not talking about black people. They were not talking about women, whether you were right. They were not talking about those groups at all.
Right.
The civil rights movement and even the Civil War was the idea that black people aren't cattle. The women's right
more movement, than three-fifths of human being.
The women's right movement was just the idea that women can be treated equally as men. Like having the ability to vote. These are things that we had to fight for not too long ago. One of the things I love to talk about, right? There's pictures all over the internet about the first black woman to be brought into an integrated school after Brown versus Board of Education. She was the first black woman to ever be brought into an all-white school. She was a child. Not too much younger than our children.
Right.
Walking into school, she had to be escorted by police because of the protesters every day with little black dolls with a noose around their neck. Language like, go away, nigger. I hope you die. Cross. Like, all these horrible things that this little girl had to go through. I think this woman is like 68. This was not long ago in our history. No. And I think we forget that. And it does take time for the world to grow and to get away from generational curses. Yes, we us three are trying to get away from this generational thing of education and learn more. But at the same token, we're becoming more divisive when we sit there and say things like, oh, that was so long ago. No. That's someone's grandmother. That is someone's mother. And right. At the same token, we're not that far from it. Mm-mm.
So to get back on topic, though, so do y'all think that the scrutiny and the things that Simone is going through right now, is it partially racially motivated?
I think it's because she's a woman and because she's Black. I think that if it was the fact that Ryan Lochte dealt with a mental health issue, the fact that Michael Phelps dealt with a mental health issue, the fact that all these white men that play golf deal with mental health issues, especially when they're going through these slumps and things like that, and they can't get a par, and that's not bad at an eye. Huh. The moment a woman does it, the moment a man does it, or a Black man does it, or a Black woman does it, we got an issue. And I hope as a nation in the United States, and as a people just in general, we evolve, man. We got to do better. Try to do better. Yeah. Tell my listeners, man. Try to do better.
No doubt.
We're going to talk about some more mental health issues, but we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back. And we're back to the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to our second topic here today. We're talking about something that came up on my social media feed. This video comes from a woman named Nikki Marina. She is on TikTok. She has actually gotten pretty famous on TikTok for doing her Marvel skits about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Iron Man skits. She's talking about Loki. She is just a pleasure to watch on TikTok. She is also a mental health advocate. Why? Because she deals with her own mental health issues. And I want to talk about a video that she posted. I want to get everyone's reaction on it.
So a few weeks ago, my therapist dropped a truth bomb on me that being wanted and needed are not the same thing as being cared for. And so I've been on this odyssey to figure out what being cared for looks like. And I think I got it. So me and two of my friends were hanging out in a parking lot after clubbing. And there were some guys that we were talking to. And it came up that I am the Marvel girl of TikTok. It somehow always comes up. And so upon realizing this, one of the guys had a serious MCU question. And so I got into my Marvel mode and I started explaining shit. And my friend is just over there cheesing, like smiling really hard. And I'm like, what are you cheesing about? And she was like, I just love seeing you talk about this stuff. You're so good at it and you love it so much and it just makes you light up. Like, I don't really care much for it, but you do. And I think it's awesome. And I was like, oh, I think this is what being cared for looks like. Not being appreciated for what you can do for people, but them just taking joy in seeing you have joy and just loving that you are you.
I like that, man.
I like that.
What is your guys? What is your opinion on this, fellas? What is your opinion on this?
Well, I think we've already heard Duke talk about being in relationships where you want to be wanted, not needed. I don't know about this whole being cared for thing. Like, I have a different little kind of outlook on the whole want, need, and care for thing. I want to be needed. In the relationship that I'm in, if I'm with a woman, we committed, we with each other, we've been together, I want to be needed. And I say this and not in the sense of like a codependency type of thing. Like, I don't want to be needed in a codependency thing, but I want her to need my energy, need my from my presence, because I know people wants tend to change. You know what I mean? Like, you can want something one day and then something new come out. Now you don't want that anymore. You want the new. Let's take like the iPhone. Well, the iPhone 7 came out, but I can't get it right now. And by the time I got the money to get the iPhone 7, well, the iPhone 8 to come out. Now I want the iPhone 8. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be wanted. People take care of the things that they need. Necessities become a priority. You know what I mean? And I want to be a priority in a person's life.
Honestly, man, I do not want a woman that needs me. I don't. I get where you're coming from. I totally understand it. And I understand that there's probably some listeners that agree with that, but I don't want a woman that needs me. I like the idea of being cared for, right? I don't want to be needed. I don't want to be wanted. I want someone that can look at me and be like, damn, your happiness makes me happy. And I think that's where she was trying to go with. She was trying to explain how her friend saw the joy that she had talking about Marvel movies and explaining and being the Marvel girl, and that how it made her happy, that she was so happy talking about this. And that's what hit me about this, right? It's not about differences about being wanted and being needed. It's about the idea that someone's happiness does bring you happiness. We talk about this in the sense of our daughters. If you're happy, I'm happy. We have said this a couple times. But it's different when we view it in a relationship. We understand our daughters need us, but we don't look at that as the primary thing that makes us happy. My daughter needs me to pay rent. That's what makes me happy. No, my daughter is happy. My kid is happy. My son is happy, therefore I am happy. And I think that is the difference with relationships and even with people in general that she's talking about. Go ahead, dude.
I mean, I agree with her 100%. I mean, case in point, both of my co-hosts here, they like this thing called anime.
Don't judge us. I will hit you with a talk.
This is what I'm gonna say. Y'all love anime. Y'all both know I don't personally care for it.
Yes.
However, I support y'all watching it. Y'all can watch it all you want. I don't say, oh no. Y'all try to get me to watch. I said, I'm good. But I love and care for the fact that y'all appreciate anime. Yeah. You know? So I agree with her literally 100%. You know, or case in point, when I was talking about the want and need thing, I have an 11-year-old daughter. Y'all know who she is, obviously. Y'all seen that dirty little bunny rabbit that she carries around that we affectionately call Bunny Bunny.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
hey, let me tell you something. That was the very first gift I gave her when she was a child. That is why she holds on to that bunny. That is the exact, because we can get, I've offered her several times, I can get you a better bunny. I can get you a new one. You know what she say? No, daddy, I want this bunny. So, like, going back to kind of what you were talking about earlier, Mailman, when you were talking about the iPhone 7, the iPhone 8, the wanting is you still want that 7. You don't need or want that 8. You still want that 7. That's the difference in what I'm saying and what you're saying.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? No, it don't matter. I know because, what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? If the, like, now the 12 out, but you still love that 7. You like, you know, and in the field that I work in, I see that all day, every day, somebody coming with some old busted shit. And I'm like, look, it's time to upgrade your life. They're like, nope, I want to stick with this until the wheels fall off of it. You know what I'm saying? That's wanting, not needing it. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. Then in more simple terms, obviously, but yeah.
I totally feel that, and I can get behind that, because my thing is the feeling of being irreplaceable. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I mean when I say, like, I want somebody that's going to be with me and love me and make me a priority in their life, the whole nine yards. You know, I don't want to be replaced, feel like I'm easily replaced.
I think that's fine. I honestly think that's fine. There are people that are listening to this that are like, the person who I'm with absolutely needs me, and that makes me happy, and that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to feel valued in my relationship, and that's perfectly fine. And then there's people listening to this is like, no, I don't want to feel needed. I want to make sure that that person just wants to be with me, that they see that it is a choice, and that's fine too. And there's people like me that's like, I just don't want to be lonely. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No. And then there's people like this woman that's like, no, I just want someone that sees me happy and that makes them happy. And I think that's, I mean, it, there's no wrong answer to this, but it is an interesting topic.
Right. Well, because I think of being cared for, when I hear that term being cared for, it always puts me in the mind of the elderly and being in like an elderly home or something like that. Those are people that are being cared for. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, and when it comes to relationship status or something like that, then I don't want nobody taking care of me.
You look at it like when they care about you, they have to care, almost like they care for you.
Yes.
Like, I can't survive without you, kind of
thing. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? So, like, I have to take that out of the equation and think, oh, they care about me and not they are caring for me.
Yeah. Well, I care about you. I care about both of y'all.
Back at you.
Oh, and on a side note topic, Bunny,
Hey, what the original color was Bunny?
I be wondering. Listen,
she had Bunny for years.
She's had it 11 years.
She stayed at my house one night, and I offered to wash Bunny. And she looked at me like she was going to cut me.
I was about to say.
She's only let us watch it like 3 times in 11 years. 3 times.
If she could cuss you out, she probably would have.
I know.
Don't play, boy. Bunny, don't play with a color Bunny.
Her Bunny.
Well, you should have seen when she thought she almost lost Bunny and it was in my car.
Lost Bunny.
It was still in my car. She was like, hey. I can't find him.
To all our listeners, if Duke's daughter loses Bunny, consider that taken for that little girl setting the world on fire.
I'm gonna burn this motherfucker down.
Right? King Kong ain't got shit on me.
For real, she gonna be pissed, boy.
Yeah, she don't play when it comes to Bunny.
On that note, we'll be right back. And we're back with the Real Dream Podcast. We're on to our third segment.
This week in Wretched News.
I like it. I love that shit. I really do. I love that shit. All right. We are talking about a South Carolina woman is arrested for pulling a gun on her boyfriend who refused to have sex with her. The Smoking Gun reports that Michelle Smart, 30, floated the idea of sex to her 33-year-old Ryan Rucker at their Spartanburg home early Sunday morning. When Rucker pushed her away, the two began to argue, culminating in Smart threatening to shoot him. Smart almost made good on her promise, reportedly brandishing a Ruger.
Hey, that bitch is not playing, though. That bitch pulled out the Ruger on his ass.
Spartanburg County Police says Smart claimed that Rucker punched and kicked her several times, but noted that she kept changing her story. This provided to be a fatal blow to her credibility. Authorities eventually determined that she was the aggressor and arrested her for domestic violence, thus thoroughly ruining what was supposed to be a romantic weekend.
Wow. Hey, you gonna give me that dick. You gonna give me that.
For real. Here's the thing. I'm not turning down sex, but I'd be lying if I said I never met a woman that would be like, hey, if you don't pull that shit out, we gonna have some problems.
Oh my God, but to get physical and pull out the Ruger on your ass? Yeah. Like, for real?
No, not a gun. I'm just saying, I can see a woman saying, hey, listen, I want to have marital relations, and then you say no, and that really hurt her. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm not saying, hey, listen, either lay down some pipe or I'm gonna end your life. That is not what I am expecting at all. Nor have I experienced that.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Well, because you think about it, though, most women be like, oh, you ain't going to give it to me? Fine. I'm going to fucking take it. Or you going to give it to me, or I'm going to take it. Or you can't break the willing, or some shit like that. Y'all ain't never heard that shit?
Who is you fucking with? I'm sorry. No. No. I've never heard a woman come up to me and be like, hey, you can't break the willing. No. Hey. Yes, you hey. Can. No, what are you? Hey. Women, are you... Are you picking chicks up from the county pen? Like, what is...
No, but I'm telling you, like, I done dealt with some crazy women in my lifetime. I keep trying to tell y'all that shit, you know what I'm saying? That I done been with some crazy ones. I done been told that shit before. You know, where you think you going? You ain't going no damn where to you, you know what I'm saying?
That's some Baby D shit from Friday.
Right? Oh, my God.
Day-Day.
Baby D, you know you ain't getting this cookie.
I'm taking it. They gonna flat out take it, and they will. They
I
will.
I feel like that the Hills Have Eyes movies where the monsters be like, you won't give me babies. No.
No.
What Kevin Hart say?
Yes, pineapples? You are. Oh, yes, you are.
Kevin Hart say pineapples.
I don't know. It's that level of seriousness that be in their eyes when they get to telling you that shit. Oh, you coming off of it for real? Because you ain't used to it. You ain't used to that. You ain't expecting that. You be like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Please don't hurt me. Please
you know don't hurt me. Is a wife.
Oh, my God.
Please don't hurt me. Right? I didn't know I was this fragile.
Hey, you, boy. Listen,
I ain't the only one, though.
I'm not saying you're not the only one. I'm pretty sure there's some other people.
My homeboy told me a story once, too, about it. I'm saying it happened to him because he was like, because we was talking about the subject about, you know what I'm saying, can men be raped? And he was like, yeah, they damn sure can, because I was. And I was like, what? You
are so confused.
Cause I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Men want it all the time. How the hell you get raped? He's like, well, it was more one of those things where it was like, I didn't really want it with the chick, but she kept pressuring me until, you know what I'm saying, I eventually just gave in because I saw no other alternative. I was like, damn, that's kind of fucked up, you know what I'm saying? But shit, this guy, I guess, stood his ground and ended up having a close encounter with a Ruger.
Listen, I stand by this. There's no way in hell that a woman can sit there and say, oh, okay, you don't want to have sex with me? Fine. I'm going to grab this 9mm and I'm going to brandish it. I'm going to load it up. I'm going to cock it. I'm going to make sure it's all set. And I'm going to threaten to kill you if you don't let me.
Intimidation is real.
Right. But this is my issue. You mean to tell me you didn't pick up no red flags before that? You didn't pick up none? No red flag? Like, she keep the 9mm.
Yeah, he picked it up when he was hitting that hole in one.
Any woman that keeps a 9mm next to the condoms should not be messed with. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Shit. If you keep that shit next to some prophylactics, either you are prepared for sex or you prepared for prison. Like, that is not something you keep staying together.
No,
now, we all know that. Go back to what we talked about a couple episodes ago. We were talking about how much crazy you can deal with.
Yeah. Right.
I bet you, like you said, he saw the signs.
Yeah.
But you know exactly what he said. What that mouth do, though?
Right.
That's what happened. Like that's exactly what happened.
He pulled a red flag out when he was hitting that hole in one. he knew exactly what he was doing.
Oh, a golf reference. I just got that.
You caught that?
I just got that. I was late to the party.
Oh, damn.
I was late to the party.
You gotta do better.
I do.
Get your life together.
Oh, shit. So, Mr. Ryan Rucker, I hope you are safe, sir. I hope you are well, and I hope you are no longer with Miss Michelle Smart. But
and I hope you got that protection order.
Okay, this sounds what I'm going to say sounds bad, right?
Right.
Can you sit here and picture an image where, let's say you know someone that's in that situation and still stayed with the woman?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And then come
I
to
know the several.
Yeah, and then they come to the cookout and he do exactly what Duke do. Yeah, I know she pulled a gun on me. I know I didn't want to have sex. I know she was going to kill me.
But she just passionate, man. She just passionate.
She really
love me, man. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know how hard a woman got to love you for them to want to pull a gun on you? That's a whole nother level.
No. Here's the thing.
Listen, I've heard that nonsense before.
I hate to do this, right? But if Mr. Rucker is white, that's probably what he says. If Mr. Rucker was black, can you hear him saying this? Yeah, I know she did all this, but nigga. And we all just laugh and be like, all right, we already know, right? Ain't no sex worth dying over.
But no, you know what it is? A lot of people have difficulties dealing with rejection. Maybe that's a good question that we could put to our viewers and to our female listeners. If you are being rejected, how do you guys deal with rejection?
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
Sound like she had an extreme reaction to it, you know. Yeah. But
yeah. How do you deal with rejection, whether it be dating, whether it be in a relationship, or whatever the case may be? How do women deal with rejection? How do you deal with rejection? Let us know. Comment, tweet us, and shoot us a message. We'd love to hear.
You're from Florida, we don't want to hear no crazy shit.
You in Florida, man? What's wrong?
I don't want to be wilding, man.
I ain't fucking with them. South Carolina ain't that far from Florida, by the way. Just so y'all know.
For real.
I'm not judging any listeners from Florida. I don't think you crazy. I am.
Fuck that shit. You're crazy. You're fucking crazy.
How many fucks given?
None. And on that note, we want to thank you guys for listening to us. Daily news to my brothers Mailman and Duke. Listen, I love you guys. I wish you nothing but success and happiness.
I ain't gotta say shit.
Like, nigga, you know I love you. I gotta tell you.
I know, right? Damn. You gotta be all hard and shit.
I done told you twice this week I love you. Now,
yes, he has.
Like and my boy John Cornelius, peace and soul grease, nigga. Well, he ain't say nigga, but you know, yeah, I cut that part out.
I'm not.
Jesus, soul grease. Already.
And to our listeners out there, y'all keep dreaming. Take care.